We're doing the Avat Chesed. We're up to page Shin Aleph in the Zelgman edition. And the Chafetz Chaim had given us one interpretation on the verse, Kosher b'kochacha asei, whatever is within your power, do. And he discussed the idea that sometimes a person says, you know, my kids will take care of it for me. And he says, no, when you still have capacity, you take care of it. Don't count on your kids, because they'll count on their kids, etc. No one ever has time. So a person has to take care of it when he can. A person should take care of becoming a correct person and leading his life correctly, etc. Now he's giving another interpretation. What did King Solomon mean when he said, Kol asher b'kochacha asei? V'chiven b'zeh od inyan nechmad. King Solomon over here indicated another important and nice concept. The who as follows. Delifamim adam somech benafshos. Sometimes a person assumes to himself, shekasher yeh samuch leptirato, that when he will be nearing his passing, az yaseh tzava'a, then he will make a will. Okay? Most people think they have time, and when the time comes, they'll make a will. V'itzaveh levanav acharav, and then he'll tell his children after him, shem yitnu avuro l'talmud Torah, that when he passes, they should donate some money to ensure there's learning Torah in his merit. V'lishach avurot kedoshot, and he'll tell his children to donate to other important charities, v'chadome, and the like. V'yesh bazeh kama kilkulim. Now, there are a few problems with this idea. Echad, firstly, demi yodem yaz bedat zlula. Who told him he's going to be of clear mind when that happens? You need a merit in order to make it to that those final days and be able to give your kids your last will and testament. So many people die in extraordinary circumstances and sudden deaths. Person has a sudden massive heart attack. I'm coming to you tonight from a shloshim of the passing of a friend of mine. He passed away 30 days ago, right? So that was Rosh Chodesh Iyar. On Rosh Chodesh Adar, he thought he was still okay. After Purim, they discovered he had leukemia. By Nisan, he was already half dead. By the end of Nisan, he was dead. So they discovered cancer in the blood. So they discovered leukemia, and within 6 weeks, he was dead. And during those 6 weeks, he couldn't talk. He was... So one of the things that shocked all of us was that he was healthy. Rosh Chodesh Adar, he was still working up to Purim. And he didn't know he had a problem. He saw he was getting weaker. He couldn't understand what was going on. And he never had a chance to tell his children goodbye. He never had a chance because he kept thinking he'd get out of it. We all thought he'd get out of it. No one imagined that it was so severe. How old was he? In his 50s, early 50s. And so, I'm just saying, he didn't have a chance. One of the things I kept asking his kids is, how severe is it? Because I wanted to remind them to do this, to set up a will, to give his last will and testament to his kids. But you shouldn't tell that to someone if they're still going to be healthy for another 3 years, right? You don't need to scare someone and make them lose hope. So I kept trying to find out from the kids and the doctors, tell me, how's this guy really doing? What's the prognosis? So I, as his friend, I'll be able to say what's right. I didn't get the answer until 2 days before he died, when he was totally finished. That's when I got the answer. The doctors are saying he's got a day left to live. Okay, they were right. Yeah, 2 days. Okay. I'm saying, so Chafetz Chaim says, you never know how much time you'll have when the time comes. So that's the first issue. We postpone. We tell ourselves, I'll give my last will and testament. You don't know what will happen. Yeah. Okay. Whatever you want to say.
I don't know, that sounds like the person wasn't like better than like he did, like they deserve to live longer than he did or something.
I don't think so. I don't think we understand God's ways. We can't say did deserve or didn't deserve. Bottom line, you know, he didn't have that tranquil time to give a last will and testament. Not everyone does. So Chafetz Chaim is saying, you know, that's a real thing. Second problem is, Who guarantees you that your kids will listen? This is very common. Sometimes lust for money causes a person to shift from what God wants and what his parents want. You know, money sparkles. That's why King Solomon warns us and says, "Kol asher b'chochacha aseh, do whatever is within your power, haynu shetov yoter she'aseh seder hanaga bin chasav," meaning, arrange your assets, masher tzono l'shayer k'tzat chelek avur nishmato b'ot kochotav bo, whatever you want in your assets that should be meritorious, you want to give to charity, you want to give to important things, do it while you still can. There used to be in the New York Times, maybe you guys will remember this, an advertisement showing a grave and a hand coming out of the grave. You guys remember this? And the hand had money, and the ad underneath said, "Why give with the cold hand of the dead when you could give with the warm hand of the living?" And he was trying, it was a philanthropist, I don't remember who, he was trying to encourage people to give of their money to charity while they're still alive. To give their kids, to give charity. What? Well, that was the idea. People very often bequeath things. And he said this line, "Why give with the cold hand of the dead when you could give with the warm hand of the living?" That was that. He was trying to shock people into being kind. So, okay, that's what Chafetz Chaim is saying here. Because if a person does it when he's alive, he can ensure that it will happen the way he wants. You know, there's a certain donor here in Jerusalem that donated a lot of famous buildings and rose gardens and stuff like that. He has a lawyer whose job it is to go and inspect every place he donated and ensure that there's no plaque other than his name on the main wall. He will donate a building or a rose garden or something else, but they may not have another name on that building. And he hired a lawyer whose job it is just to ensure that. He pays him to go around Jerusalem once a month or once every 2 months and check. And the institutions know they're being checked. So you could say, what's the difference? Chafetz Chaim says, you know, whatever's important to you and the charity you give, if you do it while you're alive, you could see that it works out the way you want. Obviously, I would hope what's important to you is not only that point.
That's funny. You think when you tell the story, you think he was checking that there were not misappropriated funds. There was a good cause.
Look, to each his own, bottom line. But if that's what's important to him, he set it up so he could get what he wants. Right? He's so it's good that you should spend the money while still alive. For example, to purchase something that will benefit learning Torah or doing kindness. And a person will fulfill in himself what our sages used to bless their friends, and they'd say, "Olamcha tir'eh b'chayecha." May you merit to see your life during your lifetime, meaning the essence of your life. You should see accomplishments in your own lifetime. And he should check out who is trustworthy that he can entrust to follow through and see that his charitable causes are actually successful. I'll tell you something very interesting. This week, I spoke to a friend of mine who's unemployed. And I asked him how it's going, how his job search is going. And it wasn't going well. And he's already unemployed for 6 months. And I asked him how his doctorate is coming along. He said, you know, maybe when you finish your doctorate, you'll have a better chance at getting a job. So he said to me, look, I hope to finish my MA this year. And then I'm already applying for the doctorate. And I really appreciate the computer you lent me because thanks to that, I'm finishing my MA. I didn't remember I lent him a computer. Meaning I run a gmach of laptops specifically for this cause to help people find the job or hold on to a job during that interim where a person's computer crashes and they really need it. I didn't remember that he was one of the people who actually borrowed a laptop. But that's what Chafetz Chaim just said. You can appropriate funds, you can set up a gemach, and you can see to it during your lifetime that you're making a profit. It blew me away. Here the guy's using this to finish his degree, and I don't even remember that the laptop's sitting by him. I didn't know. Like when he said it, I said, I didn't remember. And that's it's a small thing. You can take things, you can create a gemach. Look, there's a glass cup there, right? How much does that cost? 5 shekel? Imagine you buy a cup, you table it in the mikveh, you donate it here in Machon Meir. 5 shekel, most people can handle that. How many people will enjoy your cup? Hopefully it doesn't break too soon, right? How many people are you benefiting in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year? And it's a small act. There are small things we can do. It doesn't have to be a laptop. Saying there are other things. You donate a sitter. How many times will people daven from that sitter? You donate an important sefer. Those are big things. You end up getting a lot for it. When I donated a certain sperm to the English library, Rav Lichtman wanted to pay me. And I said, no. If you pay, then it's the Mahon's merits. If I pay, then it's my merits. Why should I give up on my merits? We should try to find ways to set up systems where we're benefiting society long term, not just short term. There are things which you can do that help people in the long run. Think in Merkaz Arav, someone donated a computer. So all day people are learning from that. Think how many Torah articles were written because he donated that computer. So what did it cost him? $2,000? How many mitzvahs did he get for those $2,000? There are things which you can donate. So I'm giving examples of big money, but a cup is small money. There are things which are small money, and they have a very big dividend as far as mitzvahs go. So that's just food for thought. I gave a small example here the other day, where if you go on Wikipedia, and you put one link to Machon Meir on a Judaism article, you don't know how many people's lives you changed. So I said to Torah for Me, or 123Torah.com, or Machon Meir, because all of them are good, right? But seriously, I it doesn't matter which. You put up one link, you don't know how many thousands of people you've helped and possibly changed their lives. So that's a small example which anyone can do for free. It's a small example. Yes?
Earlier when you were talking about whether or not to accept the money for books that you donated, it seems like it's like a here or there. Like, I get the mitzvah.